Good morning. Charles made an announcement about his mother. I'd like to share an announcement about a fellow brother of ours, used to worship at Chapel Glen and is now in Texas. Shundun Roy, he was here 3 or 4 years ago, possibly, maybe five, officiated at the Lord's Supper. He's been waiting on a kidney. I get these backwards all the time, so I had to look at my better half, or kidney. Got one yesterday, went into surgery earlier this morning. Hopefully be out by noon. Praise the Lord for answered prayers. Thank you all for prayers that you've been giving on his behalf. I'm sure that he is over the top, over the top. And Richard, every time I think about somebody like that, I think about you. Because Richard is a living testimony of how God has blessed men and women with the ability to bring people back from a certain death in this physical life. First, I'd like to thank the elders, for one, for choosing James to give me a phone call, ask me to speak out at your meeting here. He did a lot better job than Doug did 3 or 4 years ago. Do I have to go into what Doug said? No, Doug says I'm going to anyway, Doug. Doug says, we called everybody else. Steve, you're the last one on the list. We hope that you will accept. James didn't even allude to any of that. It was really nice. I felt special for a change. So, elders, keep using these young men. Matt sent me an email that I was able to open. I'm technical. What's the word I'm looking for? Huh? Technology. Yeah, I have trouble with technology, but Matt said... Technology, thank you. Matt sent me an email. I was able to open up. The only problem I had was I should have asked James in the very beginning. I said, who else is on the program? Wow. So I got the email from Matt, and I opened it up. And I said, oh, my goodness sakes alive. We got Sam Woody, Dan Green, Jay Ford, John Lee, Dan Stretch at the table, Rick Sparks, Eric Owens, John Morris. And as funny as it might sound, a few nights before all of this came to me, I was watching an older TV program, and this man gave a quote on there, and he said, did you ever feel like that the whole world is a black tuxedo and you are a pair of brown shoes? That's pretty much how I feel compared to all these other individuals that you've asked to speak this morning. With that being said, I'd like to throw Trent over here under the bus real quick. When I speak at Chapel Glen, the crowd usually thins way out because they get tired of me because I'm so loud, for one. And two, possibly stepping on their toes, which I have no problem with that because I wear steel-toed shoes all the time, so it doesn't bother me. But he said, boy, Steve, my grandma really didn't want to listen to you this morning. Look what she did. She fell and broke herself. So that's on you, buddy. That's on you. Love cubed. That's my subject this morning. Love cubed. I didn't bother to tell James when he asked me about that to let him know that algebra, my teacher passed me with a D because she knew I had no concept of algebra. And the same thing when I got into high school, my geometry teacher passed me with a D because I just could not get the concept. But again, thanks to Matt, he sent me a little bit more information. So hopefully what I have to share with you this morning will come together. And most of all, it'll make you think. Because if I don't make you think, I've wasted your time and I've wasted mine. Paul said he'd rather speak a few words than a bunch in an unknown tongue. Well, that's the way I am anymore. I don't like to ramble on for the 40 minutes that they've given me. If I can speak just a few words and you're going to grab a hold of one thing that's going to change the way that you serve the Lord in your life, I've done my job. Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verse 37, is what they've given me to look at this morning. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind. In practice, this is involving God in everything. Godly thinking, godly feeling, and godly living. Our walk with God, as we like to call it as Christians. Our walk with God. People around you will know how you feel about God, whether they're believers or not. Or at least they should. Do the people at work know that you serve the Lord? Or do you keep that quiet? Do the kids at school know that you serve the Lord, or do you keep that quiet? Does the person that's bagging your groceries, because they're taking too much time bagging your groceries and you're frustrated with them, do you go and get aggravated with them, or do you stand there patiently realizing that they may have other problems themselves and they can recognize you're different than the last customer was there? There are so many areas in our lives that we can reflect to other people that we serve the Lord and we choose to have Him number one in our lives. The story goes, a young man was having a conversation with his father. And the young man asked the father in a rather disgusted voice, "Why does everything always have to involve God with you?" The believing father was trying to show his struggling son, who his life was centered around, and hoping his son would realize this and choose to serve God as he was. That's a great testimony to that man. Because his son realized that in every aspect of his life, it always came back to God. It always came back to Christ. And I believe that young man's conscience was chewing at him because he realized he wasn't doing the same thing that he should. Our thoughts, our emotions, and our wills must all be entirely focused on the love of God, which translates into the obedience of God's commandments. Matthew chapter 22, verse 7. This verse, taken as a whole, is meant to encourage and to encompass the whole of our being. Everything that we are is to love the Lord our God. There is no room, or there should not be any room, for divided affections or allegiance. Matthew tells us, no man can serve what? Because he will what? Love the one, and or he will be devoted to one and despise or reject the other. Exactly. Since there is indeed is one God who stands supreme and powerful, He demands a total loyalty from you and I, and that loyalty starts with the heart. Whenever I am in an audience such as you, I realize that I gain more from the lesson when I'm allowed to participate. So I'm going to ask you several questions this morning. First, I'd like to know a definition of the word heart. What is the heart? There's several definitions for it. Anybody? Personal will. Alex? What's in your body? Yeah, there you go. It's a physical thing that's in your body. What keeps you alive? Because it pumps the blood through your veins. Exactly. Anybody else? Those are all right. That's right. Cambridge Dictionary. Alex, it says, the organ inside the chest and lungette that sends the blood around the body, the center of the presence of a person's emotions or the general character of someone. As an example, he or she has a good heart. You've heard that before. Or he or she has no heart or a cold heart. The heart serves as a reference to the person as a thinking, perceiving, and willing being, bringing together the ideas of knowledge, understanding, and will. Without our will, desires, passions, affections, and thoughts rightly aligned, the life of love is impossible. Unless we have all these things going in the same direction, we're really not going to be able to love. And it starts right here with our heart. It's a conscious decision to love someone. For some of us, it's a harder decision than others. Some of you, have no problem loving a hard individual. Some of us have trouble loving the easiest individual. I struggle with that. It's hard for me sometimes. It depends on what amount of effort we choose to put forth. How many of us will go the length to make sure that somebody else knows that we love them? Jay was talking yesterday about remember when. I do remember when, Jay, and I over 35 years, I'm not the same man that I was when my wife and I first started dating. I used to go to work early in the morning and go into the conference room where there was nobody at, where I could sit at the table on a telephone, because we had no cell phones back then. We had to go someplace where there was a landline. And I would call her before she started her day. Now, she gets up and goes to work, and if I don't have to be at work early in the morning, she comes into the bedroom, kisses me on the forehead, and sees me by. I don't have the effort that I did before. And do I love her any less? No, I don't love her any less. I would like to think that I love her more, but my actions sure don't show that, do they? Gentlemen, make sure your wife knows that you love her. Don't leave any question in her mind. Ladies, we know you love us because you put up with us. Another story that was related to me, a young man and his fiancée frequented this store all the time. And two employees were standing there watching him, and they looked at her, and she was a very attractive young lady, suiting for the young man because he was an attractive young man. They made a really good couple. And every time that he was talking, she stared intently at his face the whole time watching him. And the one man, that these older guys had been married for years, and the one guy says, "Oh, I sure do wish my wife would look at me and with love like that whenever I'm talking to her. She just turns around and walks away as I'm speaking to her." And the other guy starts laughing. He says, "What is so funny about this?" He goes, "You have no idea." He says, "She's not staring at him because she loves him. She's deaf and she's reading his lips. There's no love there." That was partially true. She wasn't deaf. She did stare at him like that. That was true. But she hung on every word that was coming out of her fiancé's mouth. Do we do that today? We should. We did it one time, possibly. Why don't we now? Most of you know that Barbara and I, whenever we come out here, we try to bring our grandsons with us. We have three of them with us out of the four. There's no doubt in any of our grandchildren's mind that their grandma loves them. Their grandpa sometimes, that's another question. Sometimes my affections don't show as much as she does. And how does she do this? How does she do this? She does this by the words that she chooses to speak to them, the way that she talks to them, the attitude in her voice when she talks to them, the actions that she has. One might like this kind of gum, another like this kind of gum, and she makes sure that they all three have it. Me, if I don't have any gum, they don't have any gum. It's just that's the way it is, because it's not that important to me. But she makes sure that they know. There is no doubt in any of our grandkids' mind that she loves them. I'm fine with that. I have no issues with that. Because by her example, she helps me to be more of the man that God wants me to be. I used to get quite upset with her because she would devote her time to other people and leave me sitting at home by myself. I don't do that anymore because I was the one that was wrong. Because there were plenty of other people for me to go out and help. I chose not to. I chose not to show people that I love them by going out and helping them where she was doing what God wanted her to do and also be the person that God wanted her to be. Me, on the other hand, I was not that. I'm trying. Hopefully I'm getting better. But I've got a long way to go. I'm sure that you have many people in your lives that you can think of also. I didn't mean to single out my wife, but I can speak of her actions. I can't speak of those in your lives. Just as we make sure that a human being knows we love them, we need to make sure our God and Creator knows our heart belongs to Him. Loving God with all our heart is spending time with Him in His presence. And this, to me, is not what we're talking about this morning. This is the easiest part of serving God, in my estimation. Coming together in assembly. The part that's tough is for me as a non-morning person to get up early in the morning and spend quiet time with God in the Scriptures. Fine, Steve, do it in the evening. Okay, well that would mean I would have to stay awake while I'm sitting there reading my Bible. But what a better way to fall asleep than to be in God's Word as you drift off to sleep. Amen? Turn off the video games, turn off that television and open up the Word. And as you're reading the Word, fall asleep with His Word going into your mind. There's plenty of time. But see, all that takes effort. That takes effort. This, not so much. This is a good thing that God has set up with us. Don't get me wrong. But this takes... I can come in here, and if I'm not on the program, I can sit there and be a pew. And you know what a pew is, don't you? Something that stinks because it doesn't get involved. Yeah, that's why they call them pews. These are chairs. I don't know how you guys get around that, but pews. Being a Christian is not a spectator sport. Being a Christian is a lifestyle, living for the Lord. Loving God with all my heart means I make him my greatest treasure. Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 21 says, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." I need to value my relationship with him more than anything else in this world. How can you tell that in people's actions when they choose God over everything else? I have another example for you. A woman that I know, when she had children involved in sports, went to the coach ahead of time and says, "On Wednesday night, our kids can be in practice, they can be in a game, but at 7 o'clock, it's 30 minutes from the playing field to worship. At 7 o'clock, we're leaving, whether we're in a game, whether we're in practice or not." And she would do that. That coach and everybody on that team knew that those children at 7 o'clock were leaving and where they were going. There was no doubt in anybody's mind who they served. Do we do that for our children, our grandchildren? Do they see that in our lives, that we are going to make sure that at the time that we need to be for the Lord, with the Lord, with the Lord's family, are we going to be there? Are we going to allow something else to come in the way? And I granted, I understand things happen. But as we allow things to happen, it seems like they happen more often. How many days does it take for a habit to become a habit? 21. Thank you very much. 21 days. So 21 times a missing midweek service, and it'll become a habit. Is whatever you're doing worth it? It's not to me. I choose not to. But you have to choose that for yourself. Let's move on to the second portion here, our soul. Somebody want to give me a definition of the soul?
Consciousness,
okay. Alex? Pardon me? Something spiritually? Something spiritual? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Anybody else? Levi? The spirit that will live eternally. There you go. There you go, Seth.
Righteousness.
Righteousness. If we have a good soul, we're living for God, our soul will be righteous. You're right. You're right. And if we're not, who are we living for?
Satan.
There you go. Very good. Very good. Once again, the Cambridge Dictionary says, a person's moral or emotional nature or sense of identity. The spiritual immaterial part of a human being regarded as immortal. Loving the Lord with all our soul has to do with devotion. Your soul is who you are. My soul is who I am. It's the part of us that lives forever. For the longest time, I was confused about this, but when does eternity begin for my soul? Hello? One more time?
Birth.
Back up a little bit.
Conception.
Thank you very much. For the longest time, I'm a slow learner, I'm telling you. For the longest time, I thought when I die, that's when my soul... No, that is not right. My soul at conception begins, and eternity begins for my soul. Wherever I spend it is going to be up to me, because is God going to condemn anybody to hell, or is it going to be my actions that sends me there? It's me. God is a loving God. That's why he sent us his son and provided us with heaven. It's my choice whether I choose to serve him or not. Loving God with all my soul means loving him with all that I am. We express love for God with our soul when we use our energy to align our heart and center our relationship on him, rather than our own recognition and accomplishments. As the word of the song goes, let them see you, God, in me. Let them hear you when I speak. Let them feel you when I sing. Let them see you in me. Is that our attitude and our actions? Do we want to make sure that everyone around us, not just here, this is easy again. This is easy. But when I'm away from here, do people know who I serve? And if I'm serving myself, I'm not serving God. When our identity and primary success are in being people who love God, then we are loving him with all our soul. We love the Lord with all our soul by making godly choices. What do we value? Choices are made by what we value the most. Here's some questions for you. How do I spend my money? Well, it's mine, Steve, and nobody's going to tell me how to spend it except my wife, and don't you forget it either. How do we spend our money? Think about it for a minute. Here we are on Sunday morning, and in a few minutes, we're going to be asked to give back to God. Who gave you the money in your pocket? God. What are you doing with it?
Spending it.
Spending it on what? Stuff. Things you don't need. There you go, out of the mouth of babes. Things you don't need. How many people got cable in this room? Internet. More cars than you can drive at one time. Do any of these things in the way that I spend my money affect the way whenever the plate comes across for me? Because you all just said we got it from God, right? It belongs to Him. So why is it that I'm spending His money on my needs, my affections, my wants? He's going to supply all my needs. It's the desires that I have that put me in a bad place when it comes to how I spend my money with God and Him. How do I spend my money? What do I do with my time? You know, I'd really like to go over and clean out Carolyn's gutters because they got trees growing on them this high, but I just don't have any time between, you know, I got to go down to the Rotary Club and I'm on as a parking lot attendant at the lodge this week, and this list just goes on and on and on. I have used my time for Steve again, not for God. What kind of things do I read? When I pick up a book and I read a book, and I'm not a great reader at all anymore. Like I said, I fall asleep when I open up the pages. So I don't read books other than the Bible because, once again, I want to fall asleep. But what I read, does it promote thoughts about God? But it's so entertaining. I know it's entertaining. There's nothing wrong with entertainment unless it comes in between you and God. Because then it becomes an idol, and God is not going to share you with anything. How about the programs that I watch on television? Barb and I don't have cable TV because I am a television junkie. I will sit there in front of the TV and watch some stupid, mindless show instead of turning it off and doing what I should do, picking up my Bible and studying it. So I don't need that added burden of something not to watch. But what do I watch? Do I watch those shows that are questionable? You know, I don't believe in people being together, living together, not being married. I don't believe in two men in a relationship. I don't believe in somebody doing this. But do I watch television shows that have that in it? It's okay because I don't believe it. And they're so funny. No, they're not funny. What it is Satan trying to desensitize me from sin. And it works. It works. I sat and listened to a brother and I was... First, I have to confess because I didn't say anything to him because I was so shocked at what he was telling me about a program he watched. And after I was done and he was done talking to me, he got away. How in the world can you, as a Christian, sit and watch something like that and then tell somebody about it? What do I do for entertainment? You know, Indianapolis, we got the Colts. Yes, we do. You know when they play, don't you? Sunday. Sunday, Sunday. The Kirschmoner commercial says, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. We'll sell you the whole seat, but you only need the edge because it's so exciting. That's all great, well, and good, but have you ever stopped to think? Have you ever stopped to think? It's only one time, God. It's only one time. I can go to the Colts. I'll be back in services next Sunday. It'll be all right. What happens if the Lord comes on that Sunday and you're sitting in row three watching the Colts win? How are you going to explain that to God? You're number one, God, but I'm at the Colts game when I ought to be in worship with my brothers and sisters. That doesn't fly. Well, God knows my heart. Yeah, He does. And you chose not to be in assembly with your brothers and sisters, and you went to some place that you shouldn't have been on His day. That's the other thing, too, and this is a freebie. It's not called the Lord's 2 hours. It's called the Lord's what? Day. Day. So those of us that have problems with time, which I do, take those 2 hours that were supposed to be here and stretch them out for the entire day. and do something else with your day for the Lord. I do, Steve. I go to sleep and I feel good because I needed the rest on Sunday. That's not doing anything for the Lord. Do something on His day for Him. Where do you go for relaxation? Well, I go down to the corner with all my buddies and we shoot darts and shoot pool. And I might have a drink or two every once in a while, but you know, it's nothing that's going to mess me up or anything. Do you go down there for relaxation? Do you get away from there? You ever stop to think, and as a former huge sinner, I'm still a sinner today, but as a huge sinner, I always said whenever I was doing those, participating in those activities, I wasn't hurting anybody but myself. Leave me alone. Never crossed my mind. Never once crossed my mind. But think about this, all of you that might still do that today. What happens if you're in an inebriated state and something happens with one of your kids at home? I'm at home. It's okay, Steve. I'm not out doing it. And something happens at home and you need to have your faculties about you and you can't function to save your child's life. How will you live with yourself? How will you live with yourself? You can do with what you want with your relaxation. But don't endanger anybody else, because I don't think you'll be able to live with yourself the rest of your life. What things give me comfort in difficult times? Is it a pill? Is it a bottle? And I don't say you can't take any pills to relieve stress and pain and things like that. That's not what I'm getting. But at some point, there's just too much. Go to your brothers and sisters with your problems. Go to the Lord with your problems. As Jay talked about yesterday, remember when? You remember when congregations were a lot closer together? When you knew what your brother was feeling? Nowadays, we've got such busy lives that we don't have that same kind of touch. And that's sad. All of these things I've asked about result in choices that demonstrate whether we love God with all our soul or not. John 14:15, he says, "If you love me, you will keep my suggestions." Anybody want to stop me with that? What's that, Jeannie? Commandments, that's right, they're commandments. Have you ever been driving down the road and it's coming up to a four-way stop and the guy gets to the four-way stop before you does, and because he's there before you do, he just goes on through it? It's not a command to stop, it's a suggestion. When God commands us to do things, He means it. It's not a suggestion for us to love Him with all our heart, soul, and mind. He wants us to do that. That's why He gave us the commandment. And last but not least, our mind, our intellect. Somebody want to give me a definition for the mind? Alex?
Your thoughts.
Your thoughts, okay.
The computer of the body.
The computer of the body. Mine's on... Your own self-control and your own thinking. Very good. Levi? A who? A muscle coder. That one's over my head, guys. Doesn't take much to get over Grandpa's head, does it? A muscle coder. That's good. Anybody else? Cambridge Dictionary again. The mind, the element of complex or complex of elements in an individual that feels, perceives, thinks, wills, and especially reasons. Romans 12, verse 2 says, tells us that our mind must be renewed in order to conform to our... Tells us that our mind must be renewed in order to conform to or grasp the will of God. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24 sums up, says, "Lay aside the old self, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self." I need to get this right with God. I need to have my mind aligned with God. Loving God with reason and intellect. Having faith does not mean giving up knowledge and understanding. Loving God with all my mind includes study and thoughts that will grow our faith and relationship with Him. We need to fill our minds with things that move us to the love of God and not things that take us away from Him. I always take the opportunity when I address a larger crowd like this to ask you a question. Whenever you're by yourself, what do you put in your head? Do you listen to things that are objectionable on the radio? Do you purposely put a soundtrack in your tape at home that gets you moving and everything like that? But you wouldn't dare let anybody in the assembly listen to it because it's vile, vulgar, shameful. What do you put in your head? I put good things in my head. For the longest time, I've listened to either religious music. Can I use that word, religious? I don't want to use a Christian because I hadn't been baptized, I hadn't confessed, it doesn't believe, but religious music. Songs that make me think about God. Whenever the artist is singing, he speaks about the love of God, how it is that it affects his life. And while I'm listening to those people, it makes me think about God. Many of you have the radios you can make things come on that you want to listen to. What's that? The Siri? No. Huh? Sirius. There we go. Yeah. And you can choose what do you choose if you have that? There's a lot of funny stuff on there, just like the TV. But do you choose things that's going to make your mind think about God? The saying goes, good in, good out. Trash in, trash out. That's true. If we put good things in, we're going to have good things come out. Job, the 31st chapter, verse 1, he says, I have made a covenant with my eyes. What was that covenant that Job made with his eyes? Not to look after a maiden. God has made us men, young men, old men, middle aged. God has made us men to be very visual. To be very visual as far as what we see we like. Look at that car out there. That's a nice car. A young lady might say, yep, it's got four wheels and I can go to the grocery store in it. But to us, it's something special. I heard an old preacher one time say something about looking upon a woman. He says you can look upon a woman one time and say that's a beautiful woman that God made and look away. But he says when you look at that or the second time, you've looked one time too many. Train our eyes to look after good things so that our minds will be filled with things that are good. What we put into our minds affects our ability to receive and express love. Not only to God, but to others. Gentlemen, if we're busy looking around at things that don't belong to us in the aspect of young ladies and women, and forget about the woman that we said I do to at home, we need to gouge out our eyes. She doesn't deserve that. She deserves our complete devotion, same as God does. Remember, the key is not to how much knowledge we have in our head, but how much Jesus we have in our heart. Matthew 12:34 says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And we are back to where we started, back to the heart. You know, Satan wants us as Christians very, very badly. I talked to a woman one time. She was going through all kinds of physical pain, and she never had physical issues and things, and she never, ever once alluded to the fact that she was in discomfort or anything like that. And she always had a smile on her face, and she says, I asked her, I said, how is it that you continue with this positive attitude? And she says, I read the end of the book, Steve, and I know who wins. Satan has read the end of the book, too, and he knows who wins, too. And he doesn't want to be in hell all by himself. He wants to take as many souls with him as he can. And if we allow him to, he's going to. We'll be right there with him. We control that, who we serve. To love God with all my heart, soul, and mind destroys any option of being one person when we are together like this in the assembly, or being another person at work, at school, on the field, or on a date, or even at home. We might talk nice to each other here when we're in assembly and other people can hear us, but how do we talk to each other at home? I think it's because probably Barb and I are both getting hard of hearing that we talk louder to each other as we've been married for so long. Rachel was with us. She and her husband have been married 4 years, 5 years, 4 years now. She was riding someplace with us, and Barb and I were going back and forth. She goes, how? Why is it you guys talk to each other like that? Barb says, 34 years, it's worked. So why not? You know? She goes, I took the opportunity to tell her. I said, if you don't say what you're thinking, and there's several ways of saying what you're thinking, gentlemen, right? But if you hold it back, or the ladies, you hold it back and you let it fester, that's no good. So you get it out in a loving way. Communication is key. Communication with God is key also when we show Him through our actions that we choose Him first. Another thing these days that Satan likes to get a hold of this is on the internet. And we need to make sure that while we're on the internet surfing all these webs, that it's just as pure and innocent as when we're turning the pages of God's Word. If we can't have a brother or sister sit down with us and see what we're looking on at the internet, we shouldn't be there. That is taking our soul, our heart, our soul, and our mind away from loving God. Joshua said, "Choose this day whom you will serve, but for me and my house we will what? Serve the Lord. No man, we already asked this, no man can serve two masters, because he will love the one and hate the other. He will cleave to the one and despise the other." I have behind me three pictures. Call them pictures. I did well, thank you. So, on the one on the left, yeah. You remember Sesame Street, whenever they would say, two of these things are not like the others, one of these things just doesn't belong. They're all the same, aren't they? Look at them. There's different sizes, different colors. But look at them. They all are round. They have a center hub. They have the same number of spokes. They're the same. Thought I was going to fall, didn't you?
I'm glad you did.
I'm glad I didn't either. That would have been funny.
In the center of this hub, we're going to put us. In the center of this hub, we're going to make this, that's an O, T-H-E-R-S, others.
What are we going to put in the center of this hub? Other wheel. Eric? God. Eric, you win.
Thank you.
You win. We're going to put God in here. This is the way that a lot of us try to do our lives. We'll slice up the pie of life, and we'll add this sliver over here. We'll say, well, this sliver right here, I'm going to give this much to Jesus. This much here is going to be for my family. This is going to be for work. This is school, all these different activities. And this is our choice to do. And sometimes we allow others to make those decisions for us. And I know you'll believe this when I say it because it's the truth. I didn't come up with this on my own. Okay? I stole this from a good brother at Chapel Glen, Tony Barker. Tony Barker, whenever he speaks, he a lot of times talks about priorities. And he's right. He's right. Do we have Jesus as a large wedge in our pie, and the other wedges being second, third, and fourth priorities in our lives? Is that what I've done? Is this one right here? Is this Jesus? Now I could take this away here and make him a bigger priority there. As I could do here, and others want me to make Jesus a big priority in my life too. I can do that, no problem. But why? Why? Jesus is our top priority, the largest wedge, but we have other priority, like I said, like job, entertainment, family, etc., that Jesus is not a part of. And that's my choice not to include him in those things. Tony goes on to say that Jesus is not a priority, but Jesus is the entire pie. Or God is the entire pie. He determines our priorities and runs through all of them. So he is involved in all aspects, priorities of our lives, whether it be our jobs, entertainment, or whatever we do. No matter how trivial a priority may be in our lives, we need to make sure that Christ is involved. Going back to the first story I alluded, the man that spoke to his son, that son was angry because his father and everything that he did alluded to the fact that he chose God in his life. And that's how we can serve and love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, by making him the priority instead of ourselves. Thank you for your time.